We don't have a quorum here yet, but we're going to start with Representative Mahoney's bill, House File 2363. He's got a testifier that's got to get back to work. I can't think of a better way to get him out of here quick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 2363 for possible inclusion in Omnibus Jobs Bill. Members of Science and many of you have been on this committee for a while. The Science and Technology Authority, we created it in the year 2010, and it was comprised of the commissioners of Deed, MMB, Revenue, Commerce, and Agriculture. The objectives of the STNA are to promote and develop high-tech industry and bring high-paying jobs to the state of Minnesota. This includes helping inventors, commercialize their discoveries, maximizing federal dollars and grants for research and development, and developing a high-tech workforce. In 2011, the Science and Technology Authority released a 30-page strategic report. And you all got a copy of it last year, and I'm sure you have it in your office tab and saved just like I have mine, that laid out this plan. And it calls for a variety of areas that address the things that I spoke to earlier, commercializing the discoveries, maximizing federal dollars, and developing a high-tech workforce. Last year, we asked for $25 million in a ongoing funding for this particular agency, authority. It was appropriated $214,000, which essentially just keeps the executive director. This bill appropriates $10 million from the general fund in the year 2013 for the Science and Technology Authority. Presumably, the S&T would use this money to fund some of the priorities reduced at a reduced level included in the strategic plan. Members, I will bring up the testifier because I know he has to get out of here, and there are other bills to be heard. I will spend a whole lot more time individually with members talking about what this is, and I will have a few closing comments. If my witness could please come up. And just so for those of you to refresh your memory, last year we brought Robert Malachy with the pilotless drones. In your pamphlet today is the Twin Star Medical kind of brochure or one pager. Last year we brought up kind of a military civilian aviation guy. This year we're bringing up medical people. So with that, you could identify yourself. And
I'm Jim Stice. I'm with Twin Star Medical and president of the company and a founder. Mr. Chair and members, my last 25 years have been as a founder of a medical device startup. This most recent experience has been at Twin Star Medical, and I'll be sharing today with you my SBIR experience. It's relevant since SBIR has been really a key element in our success to date, and I'll share some of those successes with you. A little bit first on the technology, just to give you some perspective. We have a technology that's used in medical devices, sort of like a soaker hose, like features for tissue drainage or infusion. What's unique is it has these very small pores that are very small in comparison to a conventional catheter. This provides a very uniform distribution over large volumes. We're developing drainage catheters that might be used for swollen tissue, brain injury, fractures, to reduce the swelling, promote healing, and then infusion catheters, say, to deliver drugs to tumors to minimize the side effects of, say, IV chemotherapeutics. About the company, a little of our background, our total funding is about $20 million over the history of the company. $8 million of that has been SBIR funding. We've had $10 million in Army funding in addition, and we've had $2 million in equity funding that has come through from friends and angels. The SBIR funding has led to a number of successes, number one of which has been $10 million in Army funding, R&D funding, the one product that we have launched. We have ongoing grant submissions, hopefully which will bring in additional revenues, about $15 million being reviewed now. We have 10 patents and multiple pending applications. We have staff of about 10 employees, and the average salary is about $80,000 per employee. And we also subcontracted last year about $1 million in consultants as well as supplies to manufacturers here in Minnesota. In terms of our product status, we do have one FDA approval, and the product has been launched. We have 4 clinical trials going right now, some of which are done here in Minnesota, and then we have multiple preclinical projects going on. In the future, given sort of the climate for early-stage medical devices, as we try to commercialize this technology, we will continue to avail ourselves of the SBIR program and any other programs that would be funded through this S&T funding to try to bring new products to the marketplace, these ones that we have in the pipeline. And we are also, of course, looking to leverage that in other areas as well, too, where there might be opportunities. Kentucky has a program where they match up to $1 million of SBIR funding, could be up to $5 million funding over a 5-year period. And they have seed funding of $750,000 to $1.5 million. So for our drug delivery programs, we will look probably at that program over the next year. So just quickly in closing, I would say the S&T has facilitated our success in the past through training, peer group mentoring programs, consultant support, which led to a $3 million, facilitated a $3 million award from NIH, and it certainly support S&T activities to enhance SBIR and other programs for companies like TwinStar to find a funding pathway to success. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Mahoney, you want to finish up or ask for questions?
I will finish it up, and I will ask people, because I know we have some bills up today that need to get heard. I will direct you in your folder to this particular sheet. And the bottom left quadrant really talks about what this Science and Technology Authority is all about. The internship program, we're not going to eclipse anyone unless we have the workforce. And that's what this particular internship program is all about. SBIR and STTR, Phase 2 Commercialization Plan Assistance Program. A lot of words. In 2010, we had SBIR funding of almost $28 million. We are on the bottom end of the SBIR because many other states actually have a group of people, a staff that help companies like TwinStar and or Match, which is really a big deal for the federal government. And that SBIR is a really, really integral part. That helps these small companies like TwinStar, like, don't ask me to pronounce Maliki's, the company's name, move forward and demonstrate to the investors that they are a viable company and keep them alive until those investors pop in. And I'll just use, I don't have Virginia's numbers, but I know they're like 4 or 5 times what we get. I know some of these, like Kentucky, is way ahead of us, and they are not a state larger than us, nor do they have the technology kind of industry developed that we do. The third one there is the enhanced proposal assistance. That, again, is what we were talking about in the SBIR stuff. This bill also helps with a business and entrepreneur accelerator. So it moves these companies from multiple years to profitability, 2 years. Not multiple years, but to a few years. And if we can shrink that time frame, our industries have a better chance of success, and maybe they grow into the next Fortune 500 company in Minnesota. Again, I can take any questions. I know my witness has to get up and leave, but happy to answer them.
Right. Any questions from the members? Representative Scalzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Mahoney. And this is a wonderful example of how we can help our economic development in the state of Minnesota. I'm just a little concerned about the $10 million from the general fund. If given that that may not happen, do you have any other alternative sources of funding for this?
Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, Representative Scalzi, the sad part is that the alternative is to not develop these smaller businesses in this way. If we get $10 million, we're going to be really working very hard. The request last year, the bad part about that request last year is that I had business people actually put the request together. So they actually went down the list and said, this is what this cost, this is what this cost. And then they came to the legislature and said, well, we really need $25 million. Now, maybe they should have come and asked for $75 million, and then we might have been able to get $25. But the answer to your question is no. The response is that we will wait another year and another state will get that much farther ahead of us.
Okay, Representative Scalzi, they don't put everything in a fiscal note. It doesn't put in at all what projects bring into the general fund. And I think that's kind of a short-sighted way of looking at things. Representative Mahoney, you want to renew your motion?
I would so move, Mr. Chair.
Okay, all in favor of that motion? We don't have to. We'll lay it over for possible inclusion on an omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee members.
Next up, we have a presentation from the Small Business Caucus. Welcome to our committee, and yeah. I assume there'll be some bills that you want to bring back to this committee that the Small Business Caucus got, and we'll put them in our omnibus bill also.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the chance to come before the committee and give you a status report on the work of the Small Business Caucus. I will give just a brief overview. Representative Dietrich will talk a little bit about what we heard and learned and kind of the focus areas of the caucus this year. And then we have Representatives Loeffler, Ward, and Fabian to talk about a couple of the specific bills, some of whom you've already heard in this committee, and they're moving on and traveling. But the purpose of the Small Business Caucus is to shine a light bipartisanly on the issues that small businesses have in Minnesota and bipartisanly support and advance legislation to their benefit. And I want to thank the chair for showing up quite regularly to our meetings and being part of it, and for offering us this chance here this morning to at least highlight what we've been doing. And I also need to thank Representative Dietrich, because she is the one who initiated this caucus 2.5-3 years ago, and I've been glad to be a co-chair of hers on it these last 2 years, and had good success with the initiatives that we put forward and advanced last cycle, last legislative session. I think out of the 8 proposals that we supported, at least 6 made it through. And so we're hoping to have pretty decent success this year as well. So the purpose of the caucus is in an informal way to get people from both sides of the aisle together and focus on something that we all have in our legislative districts, and that's small businesses. We don't hold formal official committee hearings. It's more of informational sessions and meetings. We have a volunteer membership of probably over 30 members, probably half of which attend pretty regularly. And then at the end of that informational cycle, we develop a package of bills that we think are worth supporting in that legislative session and then advance them. So that's what we've done this year. The members are not bound to vote for the bills. They're obviously free as legislators to support what they will in committee and on the floor, but there's a very strong bipartisan and broad support for the initiatives that we'll put before you here. So with that, I'll hand it over to Representative Dietrich, who can talk about a little bit more about what we did this year.
Welcome to our committee.
Thank you, Chairman Gunther. And I likewise want to thank Representative Downey for starting this and being on the ground level of starting this endeavor 3 years ago. We put in a lot of work into it, but you know, the benefits have really outweighed the work. It feels really good to be on a bipartisan working committee, and where we really, in general, try to support each other and try to determine what might be good for small businesses in the state of Minnesota. With that, I would also like to just acknowledge some people around the table that are also a part of the Small Business Caucus, and that is Representative Scalzi is a very faithful member And she is a small business owner herself, so we really appreciate her insights. Representative Kiefer, we want new members to be involved, and we thank you for participating. Representative Stensrud has been another real asset to the committee, and then, of course, as Representative Downey mentioned, Chairman Gunther, with as many obligations that you have as a committee chair, it is amazing that you still take time to attend those meetings. So what I just wanted to comment a little bit is about the state of the state in small businesses. Like most other Fortune 500 large businesses, small businesses were hit hard by the recession, and their recovery and their future growth is clearly essential to our long-term economic recovery. And I think everybody in the caucus agrees with that, and that is why we continue the work that we do. So what we have done is we have heard from a lot of the small business owners, and what we heard is that their property taxes are getting very challenging. Their sales taxes have some challenges. The ability to expand and enhance investment and with capital is very challenging for them. And then they have also asked us in some cases just to get out of the way or to help them with permitting and regulations. I think property taxes and health care, rising costs of health care, are two of the biggest challenges that are facing our small businesses, and they continue to bring that message to us. But through that, through those topics, we listened to many business leaders, economic experts, and small business owners, and based on their input, we have categorized, we have three different areas of bills that we addressed. The first is taxes, and we're going to have Loeffler, Ward, and Fabian come and speak to give a little synopsis of their bills under that category. And then we have finance and investment, and we have Representative Downey, Loeffler, and Ward going to speak on that again, and then removing barriers. We have a couple of people wanting to talk about what direction what bills we're supporting in that category as well. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I will turn my seat over to those who have individual bills. Thank you.
In the meantime, we'll call this meeting officially to order. We have a quorum, and we will approve the minutes later. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm Representative Diane Loeffler, and I would like to say thank you for taking time because you are the lead committee in redeveloping our economy and helping grow jobs, and we hope that this complements your work. I will just briefly explain that one of the key issues that we heard about, and I'm sure everyone around the committee has heard about, is property tax concerns. From everybody who pays property taxes, but particularly from our small businesses. And so we formed a small working group to look at ways that we could assist small businesses with their property taxes, and our goals were to try and do it that minimized impacts on other taxpayers in the area. And the proposal that will be considered in the tax committee will exempt the first $150,000 of value of commercial industrial property from the state levy. For those of you who aren't on taxes, there is a local government levy, and then commercial, industrial, and seasonal rec only pay are only subject to a state levy. And by providing the property tax relief within that state levy, we're not going to be shifting any of this tax relief onto our homeowners. It will provide relief to businesses up to even as much as $1 million in value, because all businesses have $150,000 as the starting point of calculating their taxes. So they'll all get the benefit of having that $150,000 relieved of that state levy. And for our smallest businesses, it will be a noticeable and significant impact. Our belief is that these small businesses, most of them have not yet been able to enter the global economy, and therefore they're much more subject to what's happening in our local economy and within Minnesota, and this is one way we can step up to benefit them.
Welcome to our committee, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I was here, I believe it was last week, and talked about our small business capital exemption on sales tax bill. What this does, again, is just allows for a business that meets the definition of a small business, to get their sales tax exemption up front, rather than going through the process of purchasing a piece of equipment and then having to pay the sales tax up front and then applying for a refund to get that sales tax back seems to me to be fairly complicated. And what this does is it speeds up that process. It allows for that exemption at the point of purchase. It affects businesses that have to do with manufacturing and fabricating and mining and data retrieval systems. And, you know, we were asked in committee here earlier, you know, why we're doing just the small businesses. I'd like for it to be all, but as I said there, this is a first step towards getting some tax relief for our small businesses and helping them to create more jobs and spur economic development in the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Ward, welcome to our committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First time I've been in front of this committee, and I'm pleased and pleasure. Thank you very much. And my bill that I'm talking about is House File 253, a bill that I introduced. Actually, my bills, Mr. Chair, that I'm talking about today, both came from small business owners in my district. And to contact me and suggested, Representative Ward, this is how you can, you and the legislature can significantly help our small businesses in our area and in the state. The House File 253 repeals the accelerated prepayment of sales tax for small businesses. In June, small businesses have to guess at what their sales tax are going to be for the year and then make that payment. It puts a financial burden on the businesses. So this is to repeal that. It's an accounting tool that we've used throughout the different times in the past years. And this bill would simply repeal that and make sure that our small businesses get some financial relief that you know that they could use. And they say that copying somebody is the highest form of a compliment. And Mr. Chair and members, this bill has been cloned a number of times, even as of late, and is cloned for the same purpose, to help all small businesses in the state of Minnesota. So. With that, I'll go to my colleagues and they can further explain their other bills.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if you haven't noticed, we're working our way through the press release and highlighting the bills and hopefully doing it expeditiously for you. The finance and investment section has kind of a broad set of initiatives in it. And the first is the enhancement of the Angel Investment Tax Credit, which we've heard here. So I won't belabor the point there. I do believe that as the bill has moved into tax committee and we've amended it, and as it would likely end up in an omnibus tax bill, Representative Mahoney, I think, will actually like the way it ends up. So I'll just leave it at that.
And Mr. Chair, members, health insurance costs are a real struggle for many small businesses, as you're probably aware. And we have a bill that's moving through. It's actually passed the House floor in part already last year, but unfortunately with Senator Linda Scheid's health issues, it didn't get through the Senate process, and so we're hoping to complete the loop this year. And it will assist small businesses with purchasing health insurance by getting rid of an unworkable mandate. It was implemented with the best of intentions, like many of our things, but it just didn't work out, and so we're working with the business community and repealing that. And it will we'll also want to make sure that our small businesses have access to what are called Section 125 plans. Section 125 is a provision of our federal tax code that allows employees and employers to pay for health insurance premiums pre-tax. It happens automatically for us if you take advantage of the state employee health insurance plan, and that can save you 20% to 30% of your premium cost. For the employer, it's got another advantage in that you save the FICA contribution on that employee premium portion as well. So it is a nice way of trying to keep insurance affordable for our small businesses. We want to make sure, as the Federal Health Care Reform Act is implemented, that we preserve and strengthen and support that for all of our small businesses. Right now, we have in state law provisions that both protect that and provide some increased protection for employers who are really stepping up for their employees, and we just want to make sure that those are preserved. So that probably won't come back to your committee, but it's important work, and I know that the people in the small business community appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I've also got a second bill that, as I said earlier, that when people copy things, that's the highest form of a compliment one can pay, and I have to give credit to Representative Mike Lemire. I saw he walked out, but must have an appointment or something. But anyhow, Representative Lemire had the second bill that I'm going to talk about last year, and actually was in the tax conference committee, and then was pulled out at the. I remember it was pulled out at the end of the, before the committee, or I've got line item veto. I can't remember what it was, but Representative Lemire got the same bill from his county auditor, and I heard from both some small business owners and my county auditor. And this bill, what it does is equalize a small business penalty interest rate with the personal penalty interest rate. So if somebody pays their property taxes late, there's a fee, penalty fee for that. And there's a higher rate for the small businesses than the residential rate, and this bill would simply equalize that rate, making, again, giving some financial relief to our small businesses. Sometimes, you just have to pay late, and so this equalizes that rate with the residential penalty fee as well. A good financial relief to our small businesses as well.
Thank you. You're making it so attractive, I might start a small business.
The last category is removing barriers, and I'll quickly speak to my bill. And all it does is it allows small businesses or residents who are need to be relocated because of the eminent domain law a fair process in that relocation and getting the fair value for being displaced. And it's on the House floor already, so when you see it, just vote yes. That's all you have to do. No questions, just vote yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Same on House File 2095, just vote yes. It's a non-controversial bill. Come on now. We had 2095 here a couple of weeks ago, and the thing I want to point out with regards to that is the environmental permits coordinator that's being created in the Department of Employment Economic Development. Again, it's kind of a takeoff on the mining coordinator, the mining permits coordinator that Governor Dayton created with his executive order. We just want to make that position available to anybody who chooses to use that with Indeed. It's kind of a one-stop shop. Hopefully we will be able to give direction to people who are applying for permits, whether it's in a business or it's a city or a county, and we'll help to walk them through that permitting maze, I'll say. I think that most people agree that the permitting process in the state of Minnesota is overburdensome. It takes too long. There's a number of issues that we're addressing in this bill, excuse me, that will help to speed up the permitting process. I do want to remind people that the environmental permits coordinator position with Indeed is paid for by the people that choose to use that service Indeed. The other thing that we're doing in the bill that we think is going to allow for, again, businesses, anybody who's applying for one of the more complicated permits, is establishing the ability of them to use a permit professional. And we've done a lot of work on this portion of the bill as it's gone through the committee process. We work very closely with MPCA to make them more comfortable with the language. And I think that we're very, very close to having a bill that is going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Downey.
Yeah, thank you. So finally, in the removing barriers section, there's a bill that's, I think, going to emerge from within the Commerce Committee. I think perhaps Representative Torkelson or someone will be authoring it. And that would allow small businesses to voluntarily request an advisory inspection. So it's compared to having the inspectors come in and then be fined, to allow a small business to initiate an advisory inspection where they could remediate any violations or potential violations without having to incur the fine. And again, in that bill, I believe the small business would actually pay for the value of that service as compared to it being borne by the cost of the agency. And then there's a couple of other...
I was just told that bill has been introduced in this House File 2458.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then two other provisions, one which would allow caskets to be sold by companies that are not funeral homes. There's a lot of small businesses, even the monks in Iowa, I believe, are entering those markets. And right now you have to be a licensed funeral director to sell caskets. So this would be kind of a free market opportunity and opening for those small businesses. And then Representative Detmer has the bill that would allow veterans to participate in the small business set-asides within the state. Specifically, I think we're narrowing it down to the Department of Transportation at this point. So with that, I really appreciate your indulgence in the 20 minutes or so. I think, as you can see, we've got a nice package of bills, and with bipartisan support, hopefully we'll actually be successful with many of them, and they're moving through the committee process right now, by and large, most of them. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much for the update.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. And next is Representative Vogel here. There he is, right in front. I will move House File 2575 to be laid over in our omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a couple of amendments, and a DE1 amendment.
DE1. Would you like to explain your amendment?
Well, Mr. Chair, after we had started this process, we found that we feel this would fits right into this section that's in existing law at this point under the business assistance section. So we just want to include it in that part of the law instead of creating a new, whole new statute.
Any questions about the amendment from the membership? Seeing none, all in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it.
I also have amendment A2.
A2. Handwritten amendment, members?
Passed out.
You want to explain that amendment?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. In adding on page 1, line 14, after administer, we want to add the words the Small Business Advocate Office under this section. That way it makes this only apply to that certain office and not to the other part of the section under the law. So this new section will only apply to this certain part of the law.
Okay. Any questions from the members? Seeing none, I will renew my motion that the A. What?
Yes. Move.
Okay. All in favor of the A2 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Passes. Bill the way you want it now.
All right. Thank you. Yes, it is, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. And thank you, committee members, for listening to this bill. And this partly comes out of the Small Business Caucus that I'm a part of as well. And this idea, and I know it kind of clones a little bit of what Representative Fabian has proposed as well, but maybe just a little bit more, all in encompassing more areas. And so the idea is to create an ombudsman for a position that I really got this from the MnDOT. MnDOT has that position already, and that's, you know, a person who works in helping to resolve any issues that might come up between MnDOT and public people. And so what we want to do is create a position or a person in the departments that will help focus on helping people through the process. You know, there's a few economic development authorities around the state that have already taken on these duties, and similar to those established in this bill, when dealing with local businesses, development issues such as permitting and inspection delays. And I'm told the city of Edina already has this in place, and it's working well there. So, and this would just be a go-to person for small businesses that need the help in navigating through state government and with the assistance of resolving issues and conflicts with various state agencies. Help is available from before the first filing with the Secretary of State, and some of these, you know, would be a clear understanding of some the new codes from the Department of Health or Labor and Industry, and resolving conflicts that come from misinformation or two different types of information from a department. I can attest to that in that as a licensed I'm a licensed real estate agent now. I also have my insurance license and had to deal with the Department of Commerce on a situation where I called them about several different times, but it got two different stories from two different people. And ultimately, in the end, it ended up costing me about $500 to rectify the situation. And this would help create a person that somebody I could have went to and said, here's what I've been told. This person says, no, I don't need this one. This one says, yes. I need to know what's the truth. And by the delaying of the process for me, that's what cost me the extra money in order to retain some of my insurance licenses. So so this would help create somebody who would help in that instance. In inquiries about which state agencies need to be contacted when a business wants to open or expand, and then assistance in navigating the enforcement actions or cease and desist orders, and to advocate an advocate that can put pressure on state agencies to help complete the permit reviews, inspections in a timely manner. This office can also act as a mediator between state agencies and businessmen when we have conflicts. So I know the governor is already starting to look at creating this position, and this is what we want to do is just make it maybe expand the perimeters a little bit and work towards getting something set in law for this. And I understand that this would be a work in progress trying to get this thing put together, but just wanted to get it started today.
Okay. Any questions from the members? Seeing none, we'll roll House File 2575 over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Appreciate it.
Representative Mahoney, House File 2184.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House File 2184, call it Bridge to Work, for possible inclusion in omnibus bill. Or if you would care to move it forward, I'm fine with that also, Mr. Chair. Members, we have over 160,000 people unemployed. Bridges to Work is based on a plan that came out of the federal government, was implemented in Georgia and in Texas, both with their set of problems, and we've tried to address those set of problems here. This bill is plain and simple to put Minnesotans back to work. It allows a person who is currently receiving unemployment benefits to receive 8 weeks of paid training with an employer. For the unemployed worker, they get a foot in the door as a possible job, as well as valuable training. They also get a paycheck, because the employer is required to pay minimum wage. The bill allows these workers to continue to receive their UI benefits during the 8 week training period, and in addition to the employer paying the federal minimum wage. It provides a substantial benefit to employers. If they agree to take on the unemployed worker under this program, they get someone who is training for a $20 to $25 an hour job, but only have to pay minimum wage. And keep in mind that most businesses takes at least 3 months of training for an employee before they are essentially profitable. Now, that just comes from some of the small business and large businesses that I've talked to. It's designed to attract employers who are on the fence about when it comes to hiring an additional employees. They may be a little uncertain about the economy, or they just can't afford the wages and benefits of that employee. Bridges to Work gets these employers off the fence. This bill is specifically designed to put unemployed Minnesotans to work in good jobs. They will not be dishwashers or other entry-level jobs. This is an 8 week training period. Furthering the position for which the training is provided must pay at least $20 an hour or 175% of federal poverty wage for a family of four. Real jobs. It's a pilot program limited to 5,000 participants. It was very small, but we should try new things, and this is a new thing. There are no general fund dollars in this, none. This is all coming out of UI funds, so it takes that UI check If you're getting $300 a month or a week in UI benefits, you get to keep that, and you get for 24 hours, and make sure I get this right, 24 hours of training, you get the employer to pay you $7.50. So you get the unemployment and the employer. At the end of that period, the employer is required to, not required, but strongly suggested that you hire the employee. But if you don't, you get the training and you get a foot in the door in that particular industry. There are some questions over at DEET. Primarily, they're looking for clearer language about the commissioner having authority over the training programs or the selection of the training programs, so that you're getting an appropriate one and you're not training a bunch of extra. If we had a glut of welders, you're not training a bunch of extra welders. You're training inspectors, or you're training truck drivers if you have a shortage of truck drivers. And there's also concerns about the administrative costs. Deed suggests it'll take two, but I like to argue with the. But they actually came up. The federal government just passed a program that puts together a grant program for 10 states. It's a competitive grant program that would fund programs just like this and fund the administrative costs. And the department has assured me that they will be looking to apply for that grant. And again, it's not a guarantee that they're going to get it, but they are applying and trying to pay for this with federal dollars and UI dollars. And I have the department here to answer some questions if there are some. This is one of the bills that I've worked on pretty hard, so I probably might be able to answer many of them.
Representative House.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Mahoney, page 1, line 15. Eligible for unemployment insurance benefits under Minnesota, blah, 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 blah. What if they've run out their unemployment for some reason that just been difficult and they haven't? Would they still be eligible?
That is one of the questions. They would not, because they're not getting any of the unemployment benefits. So if they get the job, they get the job. Now, that federal program that is being spoken to, that has just been, we've just been able to find out about it, I believe that there is some money in there to take those people and put them into that training, that particular training program. I'm not sure of the details. But at this stage, because they aren't getting unemployment, you'd have to create another extension.
Well,
I'm happy to do that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, one follow-up. Would it be, I can see where there's some logic in not doing it, because maybe employers would take advantage and hire somebody at the minimum wage, and they're extinguish their unemployment, and they'd keep them and hire them for 90 days after and let them go. Maybe it was tied into the unemployment. I can see where there's a little more oversight, but boy, it sure would be nice if somebody did accidentally run out of unemployment insurance if they'd still be eligible. If there's any way you can make it magic words happen or something.
Mr. Chair, I couldn't guarantee that, but as I said earlier, I'm still in conversations with Deed, and I'm happy to work on that.
Okay.
I am. I know most of us here, all of us here, just are trying to figure out ways to get people jobs. And if we can take somebody that's been hurting for a year and a half or better, or 2 years, you know, there's nothing better than getting a man or a woman their job.
Yep. Representative Stensrud.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Mahoney. Now, I'm just curious on two questions. If they hire them for at least 90 days after the training period, is there like a penalty built in, or they just agree that that's kind of what their plan is?
Yeah, I don't want to get it so complicated, and it's just, we're going good faith. There's a little bit of good faith we got to have with some of our employers. There's no employer, no penalty that they fire them on the 89th day or the 49th day.
Representative,
all right, thank you, Mr. Chair. And then I'm just trying to get my head around, we're focusing on those eligible for unemployment. They're unemployed, they're getting benefits. This sort of prejudices an employee, if you are, encourages them, gives them incentive to focus on the guy who's on unemployment. But as Representative House says, if they've been looking, trying to find that perfect job, so I got two guys in front of me and I'm the hiring authority. You're on unemployment and you're not, all things being equal, the guy who's been out of work for a year and a half and is out of benefits, I'm not going to hire him, but I will hire the unemployed. I'm just kind of, that's kind of how it would work out, correct?
Certainly could.
Okay. Just maybe as a follow-up comment, it just...
I may
vote for this or like this plan, but I guess I'm still sort of struggling. Sometimes it's great if you're on unemployment just to get a great job is sometimes encouragement enough, and I'm just wondering if this is... I'd like to see, is there evidence that shows that if we do this, we'd hire more people?
Mr. Chair, Representative Stender, do I have a definitive study? No. You know, we've seen what's happened in Georgia and in Texas and some of the attempts at the federal level. There's been problems with the other two states' laws, and we've tried to take care of those. So do I have a study or imperial data? Absolutely not. This is just one more incentive for an employer to get off the fence, so to speak, and say, well, you know, I'm going to get my training costs covered a little bit here. Is it a perfect solution to this job problem? Absolutely not. I'm just trying to help 5,000 people. And would I like to help the person that's done with their unemployment insurance? Yeah. I've got a couple other bills that might do that. But I don't know that this is the actual perfect panacea to it. I'll be honest. I'm trying to throw as many pieces of mud at the wall and see if I can get something to stick. See if I can help somebody. Or we can help somebody.
Sam Leidiger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, Representative Mahoney, for the bill and for all your work. I mean, on all your bills that are coming up, these are great ideas. Okay, on this one, you're envisioning the employer foots the bill for the training, and this is on-the-job training, so I'm envisioning that this is happening at the employer's location.
Mr. Chair.
Is that right?
Mahoney.
The way I envision it is Chair Gunther has a grocery store, and he has an unemployed person in Martin County that wants to go to work. He's got a particular job at the grocery store that takes two or three months of training before that grocery store is actually going to start to see profit from that employee. That unemployed person on unemployment, continues to get their $300 a week check from the UI, and Representative Gunther's grocery store would be paying $7 federal minimum wage on top of the $300. So for 24 hours a week of training for 8 weeks. So that last month, so to speak, of training, he's on his own. The employer would be on their own. So, I don't know. Did I answer your question there?
I think you did. I think I get. I mean, it's totally geared to, Mr. Chair. It's totally geared to the person being able to keep the unemployment insurance benefits. Right. That's what we're doing. Doesn't make any difference where he's being trained, whether it's on site.
Correct. The only requirement is that it's a 4A job, and we're still working with some of those job classifications that would pay 175% of federal poverty guidelines, or between $20 and $25 an hour.
Okay. I think I get it. Thank you.
Anyone else? Questions? Seeing none.
I'd like to renew my motion, Mr. Chair.
Representative Mahoney renews his motion to have House file 2184
for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Jobs bill.
Mr. Chair,
yeah.
Can I ask one quick question?
Certainly.
I just want to know what the status of the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund is. Is this causing a problem?
We have the pleasure to tell you in May, our debt to the federal government will be paid off, and we will owe nothing while Wisconsin, our neighboring state, is about $1.5 billion in the hole, yet they're paying interest. Good question, though. I'm glad I got to tell everybody that. With that, we'll lay this laid over. Thank you. And next up is, speaking on unemployment, is House File 2582.
Chair Gunther, would you like to move your bill?
Madam Chairman, I move that House File 2582 be laid over.
No.
Pardon me?
I think be passed and moved to Ways and Means, is what I've heard.
Ways and Means? Yeah, it does spend money, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it brings in more money. Oh, that's right, we don't do that in fiscal note yet, do we? I'll work on that. I'll move that House File 2582 be passed and be sent over to Ways and Means.
Okay, you'd like to proceed?
House File 2582 is a UI bill. There are four members, representatives that are on the UI Advisory Task Force. Representative Mahoney, Murdoch, and Representative Miller. We're all on the advisory task force, and I must have drawn the short straw. But anyway, the talking points for House File 2582, Unemployment Insurance Advisory Council Bill. Advisory Council made up of business and labor groups and legislative members. Because the congressional action last summer, Minnesota must take advantage, must make changes in order to receive federal tax credits worth over $750 million per year. And for that, we're spending $3.7 million. That's why I have to go to Ways and Means. Put money from penalties on applicants into the trust fund, puts penalties on employers with whose failure to adequately inform department of reasons for separation because of overpayment of benefits. Money put in the UI trust fund. Puts various penalty money into the UI trust fund rather than UI administration. Prevents employers from obtaining intentional and unintentional and unfairly low tax rate and putting cost on other employers. Provides a greater incentive for taking part-time and temporary jobs while on UI. Conforms Minnesota overpayment cancellation procedures to new federal regulations on collecting overpayment through federal income tax offsets. Puts the state of Minnesota court decision that agrees between the worker and the employers on UI cannot circumvent state law. And various housekeeping and cleanup provisions. And Madam Chairman, I would like to put forth an amendment.
Okay.
The 123941 amendment that basically section 3 on advice of Senate counsel, it redrafts the original bill, new federally mandated penalties, making it simpler and easier to understand. All other changes are housekeeping and make no substantive changes.
Okay. My understanding is the amendment is being copied right now.
I have a copy. I assume the membership has one?
No, we don't yet.
Okay.
So we can wait on that, but we can move ahead on.
We can move ahead, yeah. Okay. Basically, that's all it does. It's a delete all amendment. And with that, I will certainly answer any questions membership have.
Did you have anybody who wanted to testify, or they there to just answer
here
questions?
I got know everything.
All good. Do we have any questions from the members? My goodness.
Waiting for the amendment.
Waiting for the amendment. Representative House.
Yeah, I'll kill some time. Sure. Representative Gunther.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we're, do I understand this right, we're saving $3.7
million? We're spending $3.7 million to save $750 million from the federal government. They pay us that if we get in conformity. Is that correct?
Well, Mr. Stutterberg.
Madam Chair and members, I should tell you that the fiscal note is an error. It's the department, when they put together, did not include all the revenues that are expected from the bill. And so there will be a $3.7 million expenditure out of the fund, but when the corrections are made, at least staff is indicating that they think that it'll be offset with about as much, same amount of revenue. So the net effect to the fund is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of zero, because money in, money out is about a net zero. So this fiscal note will be revised, and will be also revised to incorporate the amendment.
Thank you for the clarification.
So I mean, it doesn't have to go to Ways to Be Mean?
It has to go to Ways to Be Mean.
So, Madam Chair, Representative Guthrie, that means my idea of using this money for the stadium won't play.
Representative Gunther.
Your dreams.
Guys got to have dreams.
Here they are.
Okay.
I got one. Yeah, I do.
I'll give you just a minute to look it over. Any questions about the amendment? Any questions about the bill? Okay. Let's take a vote on the amendment, the A12-0556 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes. Perfect. Okay. So we're on your bill.
I think I've said it all. If they don't have any questions, I'll renew my motion to have House File 2582 as amended be passed and sent to Ways and Means.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The bill passes and it's moved to Ways and Means. We have the minutes from March 1st. Would somebody like to move them? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Okay. Passes. And I think the meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.